You guys are having a wonderful day. My name is Dr. Boyce Watkins, and today we're going to talk about the stock market blues. It looks like the stock market has been hit again, and I'm going to explain to you exactly what's going on, why your stocks are looking kind of sad today, and what to look forward to in the future. So get comfortable, buckle up your seatbelt. We're going to get started on the Black Financial Channel right now. Welcome to the Black Financial Channel. That's theblackfinancialchannel.com. My name is Dr. Boyce Watkins. I am your friendly neighborhood finance professor. On the Black Financial Channel, we talk about Black wealth and Black economics every single day, sometimes as much as 10 times a day under one condition. The condition is that we are Black first. Black first means we put our community at the top of our priority list. Black first means we educate our kids. Black first means we care about Black families. Black first means that we want our community to win. So if you agree with this philosophy, put a B1 in the chat. Hashtag B1, that's the Black First hashtag you can use all throughout the internet, anywhere that you go. So anyway, I want to say good morning to everybody, Domo and Archivus. Shout out the city that you're from. Let me know what city you're from. Edwin Mitchell, Sherwin, LeBlanc is asking whether or not there's a recession. We'll definitely talk about that. Let's see. I see Catherine Coleman and Chris Nuss. Thank you, Mr. Boyce Watkins, for your time. Well, thank you for your time. It's an honor to talk to you also. All right, and everybody on Instagram, what's going on? My Instagram is The Real Boyce Watkins. Make sure you look for the blue check mark. There are so many fake accounts out here, and these fake people will email, they'll message you and inbox you and try to sell you crypto and all that. So just be mindful. Watch out for that. If you see a fake account like that, just report it. Look for the blue check mark when you go on my Instagram, and that's how you know it's me. All right, guys. So today is another tough day. Today, I'm looking here. Right now, it looks like the Dow's down a little over 300 points last time I checked. And that's just messy because that makes for a really bad week. That makes for a week that has been painful and tough to deal with. I talked to you guys about that yesterday. I'm with you. I'm going to ride with you all the way through this. I'm going to be right there with you through the entire process. You're going through some major market corrections. You're going through a lot of economic uncertainty. You're probably going to have a recession. I think someone asked about the recession. Well, some people believe the recession already came. Some people believe that it's coming. Some people believe it's going to get worse. And all those things could be true. And I don't think this is going to be a clean, quick, easy recovery. So let's sort through some of this. So the reason that the stocks, it's interesting. So a couple of days ago, I guess it was yesterday. I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before. I get the days mixed up. But when the inflation report came out and you saw stocks drop due to the inflation report, I made a good point, a strong point today on my Instagram to let you guys help you understand that inflation was not the reason that stocks went down. It wasn't high inflation that did it. It wasn't the increase in inflation that did it. It was the increase in inflation relative to the expectation. It's all about expectations. The two things that move stocks are information and expectations. So it wasn't that that inflation went up. It was that inflation went up by more than they expected it to go up. The market had already adjusted for high inflation already. That was already embedded in the prices of assets. So when inflation kind of came out of a bag and gave us a big surprise, it kind of threw us off a little bit. So ultimately, the inflation is something that's still manageable. In fact, once inflation starts to turn the corner, the market tends to be what they call a forward-looking indicator. The market tends to react long before inflation actually gets back to normal. So you don't have to wait for inflation to come down before you start making money. You don't have to wait for the economy to recover before you start making money. In fact, if you start investing once you find out that the economy is recovering, you'll probably be too late. You'll probably be too late because the market is looking at every piece of information that's out there to determine the direction that the economy is going. It's like when I talk to our 19-year-old, I tell him, I say, look, man, I don't care where you are in your life. I don't care how down and out you might feel right now. It's not about where you are. It's about where you're going. Where you're going is what matters. And that's how the stock market looks at the economy. So if you could do me a favor, hit the thumbs up button. Everybody hit the thumbs up button. Thumbs up, thumbs up, thumbs up. And I want to remind everybody that tonight in the Black Business School, as you know, we bring in all kinds of smart Black people from our community to talk to you about what they're doing and to help you to achieve your economic goals. That's what we're here for. That's why we have 160,000 students worldwide in the Black Business School. And so tonight for free, Keisha Ravenel, CEO of the We Inspire brand, is coming in to talk about how to build a profitable t-shirt business. Keisha has a great story. She was engaged to be married. The guy just, I guess, decided that he didn't want to marry her for whatever reason. And she was sort of like broken down to pieces, you know, in a lot of ways. And she actually used that energy to actually create her business. And she's been very successful since then. She met her new husband actually last year at the All Black National Convention during the speed dating event that my wife holds. And now they're getting married in a month and a half. And my wife and I are coming to that wedding because we're real happy for Keisha. But Keisha's going to be speaking tonight, actually. So if you want to join, just go to BoyceWatkins.com, my website, or if you're on Instagram, hit the link in the bio. There's a link right there where you can register and you can actually join the event. It's totally free to the public. So I'd love to see you there. All right. So the big thing that moved stocks today was mainly an interview by the CEO of Federal Express. And basically what he did was he kind of scared the hell out of the market. He pretty much utilized the fact that FedEx and UPS are seen as companies that can kind of tell you what's going to happen in the economy. They're kind of like the lookouts, like in a battle where you have the lookouts that go out way ahead of the army and they tell you, oh, sir, they got 500,000 troops and they're all over the Caucasus Mountains, right? You know, so they're the people that kind of can go out and tell you what's coming, that winter is coming, like Game of Thrones. Remember Game of Thrones when you had the scouts that would go and look and they'd say the army of the dead is coming, we're all going to die. So the FedEx CEO pretty much gave an interview where he pretty much said, you have no idea about the economic devastation happening in China. He said, you have no idea about the depth of the economic devastation that has happened in Europe. He said, we're flying planes back from China that are halfway full. It's messy. It's terrible. It's horrible. We're not going to give you any guidance for the rest of the year. We're not going to even try to guess what our numbers are going to be like for the rest of the year because we don't know. It's really, really bad. So just on that information alone, just on that one interview alone, which is really shocking, but it fits what I was telling you earlier, the information from insiders, people who have insight into the economy, that gets impounded into stock prices. So the whole market just freaked out and collapsed based on that one interview. I think it's an overreaction. I'd like to hear from the CEO of UPS. I'd like to hear from, the CEOs of other multinational companies. What does Walmart have to say? What do some of these other companies have to say? I don't like the idea of the entire stock market getting just body slammed over an interview from one guy, even if he's the head of FedEx. FedEx stock alone dropped by about 20%. I personally think that might be a buying opportunity. I think that maybe he's sort of setting out conservative expectations so that when things go well, then he gets a lot of credit for that. It reminds me of when Rick Pitino took over as basketball coach when I was a student at the University of Kentucky. I noticed that no matter who Rick was playing in the next game, he always talked about that next opponent like they were the baddest team on the planet. He'd be playing against, Southwest Idaho Tech. And it's University of Kentucky against Southwest Idaho Tech. And he would say, oh, my God, their guards are outstanding. We don't know how we're going to stop their center. Their defense is amazing. Right. And the reason he did that was because he wanted to manage expectations. He managed your expectations so that in case the team pulled off an upset or in case they only beat the team by 8 points, it wouldn't look so bad. And when they did get the win, it would look better than what it actually was. So I wonder if he's kind of overreacting in order to set himself up to look good later on. I would personally, if I had extra cash laying around, I don't have extra cash. All my money is deployed. All your money should always be working for you. It should always be invested. Most of my money is pretty much deployed in my portfolio. But if I had some money laying around, I'd go ahead and buy some FedEx stock because I think that 20% dip is probably more than what it needs to be. So anyway, let me move on. I'm gonna tell you a little bit more about what's going on. And then we're going to get out of here. As you guys know, I like to get in and out. We're going to hit it and quit it and make things happen as quickly as possible. Do me a favor. Hit the thumbs up button. Thumbs up, share, subscribe. Just a reminder, if you want to hear this podcast, the audio is on Spotify. So if you go to Spotify and search for the Dr. Boyce Breakdown on Spotify or Apple, you will find my podcast there. I did a great interview yesterday with Jay Morrison, who founded the Tulsa Fund and the Legacy Center. I have an office in his building down in Atlanta, my wife and I do, just to show solidarity and support with other Black folks in the community that are trying to build things. I have partnerships with other people that I think are doing amazing things. So Jay and I were talking yesterday. It was an interesting conversation about sort of the economic effects of all these rappers that get killed, in the hood, just these unfortunate situations. There's a rapper named Jay Ortiz, who is the son of a woman that works with me. And Jay was about to actually make some music with PNB Rock, the brother that got killed in LA. They were very, very close, very good friends. And he's devastated by that. But I think overall, I think that we have to really address the fact that there are people that are making so much money off young black men that they really don't care if they die. Black death is very profitable. The destruction of your young people is very profitable. And I personally think that as black people, we have to talk about that. We have to address that. We have to get in their faces about that. We cannot sit here and think it's okay just because your genocide is coming along with a dope ass beat. You can't just dance along to your own death, the death of your own children. That's just not cool. That's inappropriate behavior. That is not powernomics. That is anti-B1. That is not pro-black. That is, you might as well be a Klansman if you think that this kind of stuff is okay. And I don't think anybody feels like it's okay. I think the community is getting that. So anyway, I did that interview, and I'm going to put that up later on today on my page, drboystv.com. So if you want to hear that interview, if you want to go to Spotify and listen to it, you can hear what Jay and I had to say about that. Okay, so here's what CNBC is basically saying about the interview. The FedEx CEO said he expects the economy to enter into a worldwide recession. FedEx CEO Raj Subramaniam told CNBC's Jim Cramer on Thursday that he believes a recession is impending for the global economy. The CEO's pessimism came after FedEx missed estimates on revenue and earnings in its first quarter. The company also withdrew its full-year guidance. Let's see. When Jim asked him if he thinks that there's going to be a worldwide recession, he says, "I think so." But, you know, these numbers, they don't portend very well. The CEO's pessimism came and after he missed his numbers. And then he says that I'm very disappointed in the results that we just announced here. And, you know, the headline really is the macro situation that we're facing. So what he's kind of saying in that interview is he's saying, look, we didn't make our numbers, but it ain't really our fault. You know, it's like when my 12-year-old says, you know, the dog ate her homework and we don't even have a dog, or the wind was blowing and that's why, you know, my lunch money flew out of my book bag. You know, it's sort of saying that these things are happening to our company and it's not really us. This is a macro issue. This is going to affect everybody. Now, the thing is, I haven't seen evidence yet that it's really affecting everybody at the same level it affected FedEx. So what the market has to decide is how much of this impact is economy-wide and how much of it is what they call idiosyncratic or specific to FedEx. How much is specific to FedEx, meaning FedEx's cost structure has gone up, you know, really high since you have all the supply chain issues and all the other stuff. So how much of this is just you versus how much of this is the broader economy? And that's a really important question because that determines how much financial contagion you're going to have from this announcement by the FedEx CEO. You know, it's like if your son goes out and gets locked up and he says, "Mom, they were locking up all the kids at the school. They were harassing all the kids at school, Mom. It wasn't just me." You know, you're going to listen, but you're going to maybe investigate to find out what was it. Were they really locking up all the black boys or was it just you? What did you do specifically that caused you to get locked up? So FedEx is kind of trying to explain their way out of these numbers. And I didn't really like it. I kind of felt like it was a little overly pessimistic. But at the same time, I think that it is good information to compare to what other companies are going to say. He took the position just this year, which is interesting. He said that weakening global shipment volumes drove FedEx's disappointing results. While the company anticipated demand to increase after factories shuttered in China due to COVID opened back up, it actually fell. So he thought that when COVID was over, that it would increase demand from Chinese factories. It actually dropped. He said week over week, that came down. The chief executive also said that the loss in volume is wide reaching and that the company has seen weekly declines since around its investor day in June. We're seeing that volume decline in every segment around the world. And so, you know, we've just started our second quarter. The weekly numbers are not looking so good. So we just assume at this point that the economic conditions are not really good. Okay, so I'll see. I don't know. I don't know how much exposure FedEx has to China relative to other parts of the world, but this is information to pay attention to. Now, Tony says, can you tell us about insurance policies? I don't know the details of all the insurance policies taken out on rappers' lives and things like that. We'll talk about that in a different conversation. But I will say that I would assume that somebody probably gets life insurance on these rappers when they, when they sign their deals. And think about it. You're in a dangerous profession. You might as well get hazard pay because, you know, you got all these black people wanting to kill each other. And so if I'm signing a rapper, I'm going to get life insurance on him to protect my investment. And then two, you got to understand that there's a weird warped incentive because record labels make a lot more money off a rapper's music when he's gone. When he's gone, he becomes the number one streamer on iTunes and all that. So that does feed into some of the conspiracy theories, and maybe there's more to talk about with that. I don't know. But I'll break some of that down for you later. Actually, in fact, let me make a note to hit that topic a little bit later on a separate podcast. I can't hit it right now because I got a meeting to go to. But that's what's going on in the stock market. If you want to know what stock I'm buying right now, I bought shares of Amazon. I'm going to buy some more shares of Amazon, and then I'm going to buy more shares of Amazon. Then I'm going to buy more shares of Amazon. Then I'm going to keep buying shares of Amazon. And I'm going to keep doing that all throughout this recession, because once the economy gets better, because the sun will come out tomorrow, the sun always comes out. When it comes out, I think Amazon's going to be one of those high flyers that's going to really, you know, just do extremely well. But right now, times are tough. Right now, this is the time for the real investors. This is not time for the meme stalkers. This is not time for the fly-by-night people. This is not a time for people that want to make the fast money. This is a time for the people that understand that the big money is usually the slow money. The fast money is the fleeting money, whereas the slow money is the sturdy money. It's the real money. It's the long-term money. It's the fat money. It's the legacy money. I'm building the legacy money. I'm not really thinking about what's going to happen tomorrow. Okay, guys. So anyway, I'm going to get on out of here. Hit the thumbs up button. Thumbs up, share, subscribe. Tonight, Keisha Ravenel, CEO of the We Inspire brand, is visiting the Black Business School. It's totally free to the public. You can join us. Go to BoyceWalkins.com. She's going to talk about how she built her t-shirt business. And that's something for those of you that are thinking about trying to build a new business or trying to quit your job or whatever the case may be. Keisha's your girl. She's really good. She's really smart, and I'm really proud of her. So she'll be in there tonight at 8 p.m. So you can go to BoyceWalkins.com. Look for that link. All right. So have a good day, everybody. God bless you. And Christopher, yeah, that person contacting you was not me. If anybody pretending to be me inboxes you and says, hey, send me an inbox message, or hey, let me talk to you about, or here's my WhatsApp number or whatever, that is not me. I have to say this in every podcast to make sure that nobody gets hurt by this. So anyway, that's it. Forgive me for repeating myself, but I'm going to have to keep doing that. All right. So have a good day, everybody. God bless you. I'll see you soon. And I hope you make a ton of money today, and keep investing. You're not going to regret it. Take care. Peace.